Thank you, Mike. What a blessing it is for Dave to be able to have somebody that can call and sing like that on the drop of a hat. I couldn't sing like that if they give me 3 months' notice. Tonight we're in Profiles in Faith, and we're gonna deal with the man Elijah. And to be real honest with you, I don't have a clue where I'm going tonight. I know that Elijah was a great man and greatly used of the Lord. And tonight I'd like for us to just walk in some of the places that Elijah walked. I love being office next to Brother Neil. Neither one of us can hear. And we can't remember, but we have some great times. And he said, well, if you need a book, he said, I've got a book on Elijah. Do the fish bite? And I'm wondering, what is he talking about, do the fish bite? And he was talking about Elijah the fish bite. You know, but y'all pray for him. He needs to speak clear. So we have a good time. You know, the devil will say that if you accept the Lord, if you trust the Lord, you're going to be miserable. Put this off until as long as you can. But let me tell you something, that's a lie from the very pits of hell. The joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, we're going to begin, and I say that, begin in 1 Kings 17, beginning at verse 1 through verse 16. And those who can and will, if you want to stand and honor the Lord and His Word, please do so. 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her, and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May it find lodging in our hearts. Draw us to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is an amazing story right there. The fact that Elijah got a word from the Lord and obeyed the word of the Lord. And the Lord told him to go to the brook Cherith, and there will I feed you. Now, I will send the ravens to feed you. Now, if the Lord spoke to you and told you that tonight, you might be a little skeptical about that. But the Lord did exactly what he said he'd do. They fed him in the morning, and they fed him in the night, and he had water to drink there at the brook. Now, everything was going along fine until the brook dried up. And the ravens didn't come with provision anymore. And there's a real lesson here for us, because sometimes we trust the ravens rather than the Lord who sent the ravens. And we trust what we can see as opposed to what God can bring and take care of supernaturally. Now, when the brook dried up, and the ravens came no more, it did not mean that God didn't care for Elijah. It did not mean that God was ineffective. It does not mean that God was not greater than the situation that Elijah was in. And there's so many lessons here that we could just pull out and we could just grasp from this. One is the humility part of it. Can you imagine taking your food from a bird? You know, can you imagine after that's all over with that the Lord says, I want you to rise and I want you to go to Zarephath. And when you go to Zarephath, there's going to be a widow that is going to take care of you. All of this could have been a very humbling experience for Elijah. But nevertheless, he went according to the word of the Lord. Now, this deal about humbling is not something that I jump up and down about. Do you? You know, you can either humble yourself or God can humble you. And when I was in evangelism, I had taken a meeting. I painted myself into a corner. And I told a young man who served a little church, he said an evangelist wouldn't come to a church our size, and I was in full-time evangelism. I said, son, you just need to pray about it, and you turn it over to the Lord and let him take care of it. He said, I have. Would you come? And right there in a nanosecond, I realized that it wasn't about him. It was about me. And so I said, yeah, I can come. And then he gave me words of encouragement. He said, we've never taken up a love offer more than $100. And I said, your church is where? He said, Nogales, Arizona. And it's just getting more beautiful as the time goes by, you know. Because I needed $600 a week just to pay the travel, the bills, and so on and so forth. And I called Joan and I said, you know, one way or another, we're going to have to eat this one. And so the evangelism department of the state of Arizona, they furnished me a plane ticket to go there. The young man picked me up in Tucson and we drove 2 hours or whatever to Nogales. Preached there for about a week or 10 days and had a lot of people accept the Lord on both sides of the river. Dealt with the tunnel children underneath Nogales. And he was so excited when the meeting was over. He said, we have taken up our largest love offering ever. He says, $200. You know, and I thought, well, 200 is better than 100. And Lord, thank you for that. But I was still a little bit concerned about the other 400. I got home and Joan had a letter in the mail that from a young girl, 14 years of age, that I had led her dad to the Lord years earlier. And her grandmother had died and left her a little inheritance. And she asked her mom and dad if she could send Brother Butch and Aunt Joni a love offering. And they said, sure. How much do you want to send? She said, I'd like to send $400. And so there was exactly what we need. But let me tell you something. When you receive an income for the week from a 14-year-old girl, that's a humbling experience. And the Lord walked me through several of those. Well, Elijah had an humbling experience. Have the birds feed him, you know. Then he had to have a widow woman feed him. And I get real excited about that because Zarephath was a pretty big area. And the Bible says there were many widows in that area. And so Elijah, he just gets up and he goes to Zarephath. He didn't get a house address. He didn't get a phone number. He didn't get anything. He just gets up and goes. Now, how in the world are you going to find a widow when there's many widows that God has sent to sustain him? So he shows up. It's off his Harley. No, he didn't have a Harley. But he shows up, and there's a widow woman. And she's gathering sticks to make a little meal. And she said, I'm going to prepare a little meal, kind of the Last Supper, if you will. My son and I are going to eat it, and then we're going to lay down and die. Just let the Lord call us home. And then Elijah said, well, I understand making the cake and all of that, but first, give unto me and trust the Lord for it. Now, one, that had to be hard for Elijah to say in the first place, you know, give me your first cake, you know, when all she had was enough for one. But nevertheless, in obedience to the Lord, he did that. Now, the Bible says that, and I've heard some of these TV evangelists would said, when she did that unto the Lord, the barrel of meal was full and the oil never ran over from that 5-gallon bucket. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there was always enough meal for the next one. There was always enough oil to prepare it. Personally, I think it's a lot closer to see every morning when she got up and reached in that barrel like this, that Elijah starts singing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And every day she came up with a meal, she came up with the oil, and it sustained him, her, her son, and the whole family. What a blessing. What a miracle from the Lord. And Elijah received it as such. Now, in chapter 18 and verses 17 and 18, Elijah had this running dialogue, conversation, if you will, debate with Ahab and Jezebel. We talked about Jezebel, the Lord did, even in the book of the Revelation. But King Ahab was a wicked guy, and he had heard about Elijah. And it says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now, I think it's interesting. We can fast forward and we can say, who's troubling America? You know, and there are people out there that say, well, you Christians, if you'd get this right and if you'd get that right, you're the one that's causing all of these problems. Who's troubling America? Well, we know who it is. You know, the devil and those that he is using. But Elijah stood up on his hind legs and he said, I'm not troubling Israel. You're the one that's troubling Israel. And God's always had a man that he raised up to tag the baby, if you will. Thou art the man. You know, you're the one that's troubling Israel. I read today that Netanyahu had received a gift, the prime minister of Israel had received a gift from the leader of Hamas. And he had this beautifully wrapped present. And so when they extended him the gift, you know, the first thing he did was suspect a bomb in there. So they checked the package out, and there was no explosives. And so Netanyahu opened it up, and this present, and all it contained was cow manure, cow dung. That's what the leader of Hamas had given the leader of Israel. Well, Netanyahu, I'd like to say he prayed about it, but I don't know if he did, but he reasoned, like how do I respond to this? And, you know, sometimes we say a kind word turns away wrath. Well, he sent an equally attractive package. And in that package was the most advanced microchip that was on the face of the earth today. And I'd tell you everything I know about it, but I just did. You know, and it was state of the art, and it was really, really something. And Netanyahu can write and speak Arabic. And so he sent this note with the present. He said, every leader can only give the best his people can produce. Some of you didn't get it, did you? Okay. But what a statement. Well, who troubles Israel? It was Ahab that troubled Israel. And, you know, it's amazing thing about God revealing that to someone like Ahab, and him not turning, him not repenting. And as I read ahead in the book of the Revelation, there are times that the people come under conviction of things. But their hearts are so hardened, there's two places, at least, that the Bible says that they ground their teeth to powder, but they would not repent. You know, the rich man in hell said, well, if you'll send somebody to my brothers, if they came from hell, surely they'd repent. No. You know, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. And so the Bible says in those days, they'll grind their teeth to powder. Do you ever sit in a classroom and somebody get on the chalkboard and go like that? Then I had a lot of hair, but it all stood up, you know. And to hear somebody grind their teeth, maybe in their sleep, you know, you want to shake them and break them, and you got to quit this stuff. Go ahead, Penny, tell Bob. He's not listening. And then there's another. I love this position up here. I can just see. Another time it says that they came under conviction for their sin, but they gnawed their tongue off rather than repent. How many here ever bit your tongue? You know, I think DirecTV has an advertisement. I don't know if you've seen it. It says, this guy, he's in the attic and he runs into a 2x6. He goes, what? He says, a lot of people like that. And he goes, and he keeps bumping his head, you know, on the deal. I don't know what that's got to do with anything, but it was this repetitiveness and yet not repenting. And the Bible says, gnawed their tongues off. Now, I have bit my tongue before. Anybody here will own up to that? But let me tell you something. When I bit it, my tongue looked for a place to hide. I mean, it didn't want to go through this again. That's where it was, the repeating hitting your head. I didn't repeatedly bite my tongue. You know. Now, Joan's dad is in glory, and he doesn't do this anymore. But he is the only man that I'd ever met in my life that could hit his thumb with a hammer two times in a row. I mean, just pow, pow. You know. You remember that. Yeah, I know he's your dad, and I know you loved him, but I've never seen that happen before. Well, who troubles Israel? And they would not repent. Now, further over in the 18th chapter, verse 19, there's a tremendous story here. 19, well, we'll see how far we get. It says, Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then followed him. And the people answered not a word. Now, I'll start pulling a John here and storying from here on. Pull a John, that's a good one. Anyway, Elijah says, I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do. Give us two bullocks. And you guys over here, you can kill your bullock, dress him, put him on the altar, and you call upon your gods to consume and receive this sacrifice. And then when you're through, I'll offer. And so they killed the bullock, they dressed him, they laid him out there, and they started calling upon Baal. Oh, Baal, come down and consume the sacrifice. And nothing happened. Elijah was very gracious. You've read the story, haven't you? Elijah is very gracious, and he kind of does something like, you know, and he says, where is your gods? Are they off traveling somewhere? Maybe they can't hear you. Maybe you could yell a little louder. And so, and nothing happened. No fire, no consuming of the sacrifice. And so, well, let's get serious about this. And they start slashing themselves and dancing around and all of this stuff. And you know what happened? Nothing. And Elijah said, okay, cleared it all out. He prepared it, laid it down there. And basically he said, Lord, you don't have to do it for me because I trust you. I believe in you already. But the people need to see the power of the living God. Oh, bring water and pour it all over the sacrifice. Now, that's a twofold lesson right there. Is one, remember, water was scarce in those days. So Elijah gave that which was most precious. And so it wasn't just a matter of just soaking down the sacrifice, but it was the fact that he took that which was most precious, and he offered that up to the Lord also. Now, the other end of that is, obviously, wet meat is not going to burn. And so he said, I tell you what, dig a moat around this thing. And we're not only going to pour the water on the sacrifice, we're going to fill up the moat with the water. And then he cried out to the Lord. And the Bible says that the fire fell, consumed the sacrifice, and licked up the water that was in the ditch around it. And Elijah, then he said, the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, I forgot, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Now, that was a tremendous manifestation of the power of the Lord. The sad part about it is people are still today, many of them, looking for a dog and pony show. The Bible says when Jesus quit performing miracles that many turned aside. It is far greater for us to trust the Lord just because of who He is and put our faith and our trust in Him. Well, in chapter 19, the first 18 verses, Ahab tells Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had slain all of the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So Elijah did what a great prophet of God would do. He cut loose and run. He was afraid of this woman, Jezebel. Now, he had seen God move. He had seen God pour down the fire from heaven, consume the offering. He had seen God take the lives of these 850 false prophets. He had seen all that. One woman with a long tongue sent him to run him. I don't ever say this anymore, but when I was in evangelism and I knew I had someplace else to go, I would talk about some need to come and lay their tongue on the altar. You know. Men too, not just women. But anyway, he ran for his life. And he lays down, goes to sleep under a juniper tree. And the angel of the Lord came to him, fed him. And Elijah has this pity party. Now, I know I'm speaking to people that this has never happened to in your life, but it happened in Elijah. And he says, in verse 14, he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Just me, Lord. I'm in this all by myself. Nobody cares. Nobody's concerned. It's just me." And the Lord speaks to him. He said, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth that hath not kissed him." Sometimes we think we're all alone, and our problems are insurmountable. And God tells us, like He told Elijah, "I've got 7,000. You're sitting here wallowing in self-pity. I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You can trust me." Later on, we'll get into Elisha. And remember, Elisha was spending the night in Motel 6, and he woke up the next morning, and the enemy was all around him. And Tonto said, "Lone Ranger?" No, that's another story. The servant said, "Master, what shall we do? You know, look at this." And Elisha prayed, and we'll find out what the power of Elisha's prayer. And he prayed, "Lord, let this young man see that greater are they that be for us than they that be against us." And the Lord opened his eyes, and he began to see the heavenly host that had surrounded them. and realized that God hadn't lost control of their life. What a tremendous passage. So the Lord lets us know that we're not in it by our own. And we can go and move and move and move, but in 2 Kings, the second chapter, Elijah had a young associate named Elisha. And he learned, he sat at the feet of Elijah, and he saw things happen that they glorified the Lord together for. But in the second chapter, it says, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were there at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they, too, went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they, too, stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water, and they were divided hither and thither so that the two went over on dry ground. Now, I like that. The Lord's got this thing about dry ground. I mean, that he's going to show us something. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, because you see, against all odds, Elisha went with Elijah all the way to the end. And Elijah said unto Elisha, and what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, thou ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the water, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the water, they parted thither and thither, hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now, there were some believers there, these 50 sons of the prophets, and they said, they missed the miracle, and they said, don't you think we ought to look around and see if Elijah came back down? You know, I mean, maybe he's still out there and we're going to just go off and not receive that, not believe that. But Elisha had received a double portion. A double portion, that's all he asked for. Kind of reminds us of Solomon, didn't he? He could have asked for money, for wealth, so on and so forth, but he asked for wisdom. And Elisha just wanted to serve the Lord in an even greater capacity than Elijah did. And we see that God granted that. Now, I believe that there's some, in the Old Testament, what we call theophanies. And that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Now, before Bethlehem's manger and so on and so forth. But I also believe that this picture of Elijah being caught up, he didn't taste of death. He's caught up. And I think it's a beautiful picture of the rapture, to be real honest with you. When the Lord says, up, you know. John says, I heard the voice of a trumpet saying unto me, come up hither. And when God called Elijah, he turned loose and he was caught up. One of these days, those of us who remain now who don't pass on, pass over right now, we're going to be caught up, you know. There's a group of people, for those who don't know, we are strongly, in our doctrine, we're strongly premillennial and we're strongly pre-tribulational. In other words, we believe that the Lord will come prior to the tribulation time. And so if you want to say, where do you stand in your eschatology? Somebody ever ask you that? You can say, I'm a pre-tribulationist. That'll impress them. But there is also a group of people out there called amillennialists. Ah meaning no. They don't believe there won't be no millennial kingdom. And they can be saved. They just messed up there. And I really believe what's going to happen when the rapture takes place, they're amillennialists, and the first word out of their mouth is going to be, ah, when they're caught up. So, well, there's an interesting thing here is that God always has a person in the wings to take over his work. He's never left himself without witness. And they thought, oh, when Elijah's gone, what's going to happen? You know, will there be a greater than Elijah that will ever appear? It's not the person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can take the foolish things, and he has, to confound the wise. And so when Elijah was taken off the scene, you know, God had Elisha in the wings. And we see that throughout the kingdom of God. We need to realize it's all about him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the important one. Maybe you're here tonight and don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this matter of the rapture and God coming back for his own, all of that's confusing to you. If you're saved, it shouldn't be. Because the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It brings me comfort knowing that he's not left us alone, that he's promised never to forsake us. And what a blessing that is. Now, if you want to be in that first bus, so to speak, if you want to be there, you got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you don't know him, you can know him. You can know him tonight. The urgency of it. Marie, we had her home going Monday. And I mentioned something in there. Wouldn't it be something if somebody here was not saved, and today, as a result of this memorial service, you came to know Jesus as your Savior, and go to heaven, and see Marie and to say, you know, it was at your home going. It was at your service. That's where I found Jesus, sweet to my soul. And Monday, in the fellowship hall, Alex's fiance gave her heart to Jesus as a result of the service, you know. I can't imagine having a service and not giving people an opportunity to receive Christ, to come to know Him. And so tonight we do the same thing. The same thing. To give you an opportunity to respond to what you've heard, what the Holy Spirit has carried to your heart. And if you're not saved, you can be saved. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Realize that you're a sinner, that you can't save yourself. Ask the Lord to forgive you and to come into your heart and life, and He will do just that. If you are saved and not identified, you ought to do it. Baptism is a command, not for salvation, but for identification and for obedience. Maybe you're here and you don't have a church home, and the Lord's led you here, a divine appointment. Why not let Him have His way tonight? Let's stand and pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word tonight. For, Lord, how You take the Word and some way, somehow, You deal with all of us exactly where we're at and lead us to where we need to be. And so, Father, we are not sure about any heart, including our own, but we know that You are. And so if we'll just give over, give us space this evening for Your Holy Spirit to deal with us. And Father, on that first note of the invitation song, that people will step out, step forward, we can pray with them. Lord, trust the Lord together in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing tonight, God speaks. Will you come?
Just as I am with
just like we are.
One plea, but
we can't change anything. He can change everything. Lord, You're calling, You're bidding me, and Lord, I'm coming tonight.
Of God I come, I come.
On this verse, don't put it off. God's speaking to your heart. You know what you need to do. Why not do it tonight for His honor and glory? If not tonight, when? If not here, where?
Whose blood can cleanse its far old land. God, I come. I come.
Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. John.
Did y'all like his impression of me tonight? He said he was going to do a John, and he tried to tell a story. And that's not what he said. That's not what he said. But hey, but you shouldn't talk about his sermons like that. Anyway. Let me just say real quick, November 17th and 18th, remind you, men are having a retreat going out to Trinity Oaks and going to have a two-day time there with some great barbecue, a homemade barbecue. Really want you to be involved. I think there's still a sign-up sheet in the back. If you're planning on going, please sign up. There's not many names back there, which either means y'all just don't want to be with each other, or it means you're just kind of waiting. Please don't wait. They're trying to prepare food and figure out how much they need. So make sure in the back there you sign up and let us know if you're coming. Continue to pray for me this week. It's been a rough week for me. If you haven't seen me around the office, it's because I've been running to and fro trying to get things ready for Madagascar. I leave on Monday. And so myself, Craig Bednors, and Brad Babel are going with me. And so be praying for us as we prepare. And then Sunday I'll tell you to pray harder because we're about to leave. So, amen? Let me pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Father, you're a great God. And Father, I'm thankful even as Pastor talked about tonight, Father, you don't leave your people without a witness. Father, I'm thankful that we have a witness here. And Father, that we are all called as ambassadors of Christ Jesus to be witnesses of the things we've seen, the things we've heard. And so, Father, I pray that as we leave this place, we don't think about leaving your spirit here as Moses thought about leaving. You were on the mountain and he had to leave. Father, I thank you that you go with us because you live in us. So, Father, allow us to be lights to those who have no light, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.